Hi, this is Joe Francisca, editor of Directions Magazine. We're here at the Autodesk University Users Conference in Las Vegas this week, and I'm speaking with Chris Bradshaw, the Vice President of the Infrastructure Division. We're going to go through a series of questions and get Chris's take on a variety of issues and hopefully do a little bit of a deep dive in some of them, both technical and marketing issues that Autodesk is addressing these days. Chris, thanks. Welcome. Glad to have you here. We're going to talk specifically about some of the new technology that's available in Map 3D 2007, the feature data object technology, and how this allows users access to a variety of disparate data types. It's somewhat akin to what Intergraph did with their data server technology. It does some of the same things. You said that your unique competitive advantage was in that they are offered as an open source software tool. Can you tell us how you're making these available and what your expectations are that more FDOs will be developed by partners in addition to what you offer?
Sure, Joe. We released our feature data object, or FDO, technology into the open source world in February of 2006. So the actual source code for all of the feature data object providers we created is up and available for anyone to download from osgo.org, as well as tools and tips on how to create additional feature data object providers. And in fact, since launching those FDO providers, we have now 10 new feature data object providers that have been contributed by the open source community, which was our hope and been realized. And my anticipation is we'll see many more. There's so many different data types out there, and it's impossible for our company to support all of them. And so we really like this model of having a community create these data providers for all the different data out there.
Yeah, I said it in one of the presentations for FDO building. And one of the things that I looked at was, are you going to, if these are put into open source, are you going to take some and certify them and deliver, or how is that? How do you think that's going to evolve?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that we know the answer exactly there. Certainly, feature data object providers that gain in popularity, I could see us incorporating into our map guide and our products, and as we do so, we, as you mentioned, we already ship the feature data object providers we create with map and with our map guide product, and I could envision that we would do that with additional ones, and I guess that sort of implies that we're supporting them and certifying them. Right. In some ways, the technical committee of the OSGO.org is still got to dot the I's and cross the T's on how it's going to manage the sort of the release of those. And so I'd say this is a little bit work in progress, but there's no reason why if there's demand for them and they're available, we wouldn't. It's very consistent with the approach we've taken.
Right, and what I saw from that presentation was that so long as they're following the right scheme or the right format for building the FDO, that there should not be any problems with getting that the usability in terms of plugging that into MapGuide, whatever they're developing the FDO for.
Exactly true. It's meant to be very much a plug and play type technology. So the certification would really be that it in fact functions
as
it should.
Right.
I don't think we'd get into necessarily certifying all that it actually does the translation of the data necessarily in all cases. And that's probably the tricky part of this, because it sort of puts us right back to essentially supporting all those data types. And that was kind of what we were hoping to get community help with,
right,
frankly.
Let me switch gears a little bit and talk about something that always comes up in conversation, the relationship of the geospatial technology vendors with Google. How often have you had your users ask you to make certain that the data from Autodesk Map or whatever can be exported in a KMZ format so they can use it as a visualization platform? And has that altered your software development plans or changed expectations with the customers?
I would say that this is a more frequent request as time goes on. It's pretty clear that people are using Google for very quick visualizations and to either show a client or to show someone else in the organization who's not as familiar with how the site looks or what have you. So we're seeing an increase in people wanting to use Google essentially as a visualization aid. Mm-hmm. How it's altered our software development plans, you know, so we've supported Google from the KMZ files from a very early stage. There's no real change there, but what it has altered is how we think about visualization and recognizing that people are looking more and more for more realistic views of how a design or a proposed project is going to look. And so there, I think you'll see increasingly coming from us more visualization technology embedded directly in our mapping and civil engineering products. We'll certainly continue to support things like Google Earth, and other vendors will have, I think, similar type things. Not too distant future, Microsoft has just launched,
right,
you know, their version. And so we really like it, by the way, because it's opening the eyes of so many of our customers to what's possible. I mean, frankly, you know, a lot of this has been possible for a while, and Google is making people more aware.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that kind of came up was that do users now expect to be given a more immersive environment now that it looks easy to do in Google? And of course, Autodesk, one of Autodesk's strengths was visualizing what you've created. You know, you've spent all this time getting data, and now I want to visualize it. Google kind of stepped in and made it look easy to do.
You know, yeah, I think it depends a little bit on the application. So it's easy to do with certain types of projects. The level of precision and accuracy that can be achieved in using Google as a visualization tool is a little limited. Mm-hmm. And so if you're trying to do something either at a high level or a quick and dirty to get a sense of what it looks like, great, it's fabulous for that. If you're really trying to be very precise and get engineering level sort of accuracy around how the thing is going to look, and then, you know, you really need to go beyond the data that's available in Google. There's certainly other data providers out there that, you know, can provide that kind of information. And so we would also not only ensure that our tools integrate with Google, but also, you know, again, back to sort of that FDO question, all the different data types that are out there. Mm-hmm. And you know, perhaps a little more on the civil engineering side, but it's a lot of work to really align a KMZ file from a civil engineering and maintain the accuracy and precision. It looks, you know, a lot of people make it look easy, and the fact of the matter is it's still not that easy.
Right. One of the strengths that Autodesk has had over since its inception is working with resellers and partners. How has that relationship changed in the recent years, and can you expect them to continue their workforce development and acquire the same vision that you offer? You mentioned it yourself that workforce development is a key issue because the experience of some folks is going away, people are retiring, and that's often hard to maintain, you know, by some of the resellers.
It's a real challenge. You're absolutely right. And you know, one of the things that's critical to our success is a healthy and strong and expert reselling channel, because we do plan to continue to have that kind of business model. We're not looking for a shift there. So we've invested quite a bit actually in the last 2 or 3 years in not only testing and certifying, but really also trying to help raise the business acumen of a lot of our partners so that their businesses are healthier, taking a real hard look at, you know, what we need to be doing in terms of providing the right margins and so on, because healthy channel for us is critical. And I would say that, you know, a lot of our partners have really stepped up and are a lot more professional, running a lot better businesses than they were running in the past. Certainly, you know, Autodesk has been growing at 20-25% over the last 3 years, and since most of our business is flowing through those partners, they've seen their businesses grow as well. And quite happy to say that a lot of them have invested back in the business. And you know, probably in the early days of Autodesk, maybe not as many of them were investing back in their businesses. And so again, that's a part of raising that business IQ.
Yeah, how has it been in terms of channel conflict? You see anything develop there, or is there a way you differentiate between, you know, what the partner is capable of doing and what maybe your professional services division will do?
You know, we're pretty clear there. I think when we first announced we were having a consulting group a few years ago, there was a lot of concern about, hey, maybe Autodesk is going to be moving in and taking over some of these accounts and removing business opportunity. And the reality is that's not our interest. You know, we have a consulting organization for those customers who are so large that they demand a direct relationship with us, and they won't be fulfilled through partners. The second reason that we maintain our own consulting organization is for new businesses where our partners really don't have the ability to make that investment ahead of the revenue. And so when we get into new areas, entering in model-based design as an example, and creating consulting engagements around doing adoption, you know, and if you go in our manufacturing world, most of our channel partners are doing all of that work now, because we've been doing that for many, many years. The revenue there is well understood. Customers willing to pay for it, right. So on. So I think actually our reselling partners, our development partners, are stronger than they've ever been. And you know, we want to make sure that they stay that way, and we're going to continue to invest in them.
Okay, that sounds good. Let me ask you about the market growth. There's obviously been a lot of market advances. A lot of businesses' boats have been floated recently because there's been so much interest in the consumer side of mapping technology. You had stated yesterday when we spoke briefly that you wanted to grow at about 20%. How much do you see that coming from an existing customer base, which you still said is a growing opportunity for you, and how much would you expect to take away from some of the more traditional partner providers like an Intergraph or an ESRI?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, a lot of our growth business does come from existing customers who are expanding their business, and right now in the sort of spatial information management or geospatial frame, there's a lot of work and there's a lot of new business. And so a lot of our customers are expanding. It's also been, you know, quite a bit of sort of M&A activity. Mm-hmm. And that, when organizations come together and they standardize on a single CP, that leads also to increased opportunity for us. Having said that, we're growing. You know, you said our goal is 20, absolutely true. This business has actually been growing over 20% the last 3 years. Market data suggests that the market's not growing quite that fast, so we do believe that we're taking share from some of our competitors. And, you know, I attribute that to the fact that, you know, we're unique in that we really have both the computer-aided design, the CAD software, and the geospatial. And a lot of organizations now are really trying to bring those two worlds together. And none of our competitors really have an offering that stacks up as well as ours in terms of that CAD-GIS integration. And so I think some of the competitive share that we're taking is from those organizations that are trying to bring those two worlds together and starting to consolidate their both CAD and GIS platform into a single platform.
Yeah, one of the interesting things you had discussed was the model of the customer, what stages they're at in developing their own installation. And it was surprising to hear you say that, you know, there's quite a bit who are still using AutoCAD, AutoCAD Lite, just for mapping, and the challenge is, how do you get them to the next level, or do they want to get to the next level?
Right.
So, you know, you've got a challenge ahead of you, but some of it is technical, some of it may be political in terms of the organization. So, you know, how do you see them growing, or how are you positioning the growth to them and getting moving them along up the value chain?
Yeah, I actually don't think the challenges are technical at all anymore. I would say they're almost all perception. Maybe there is politics certainly that comes into play in some of the organizations. And so what we've really been trying to do is to educate, you know, people and make sure that organizations understand that maintaining CAD data and GIS data separately and trying to synchronize and keep both copies current and so on, is a practice that's no longer necessary, and that an organization can create a single CAD integrated with GIS data repository, whether it's file-based, whether it's in a RDBMS or what have you. And, you know, that kind of change requires process change, it requires, you know, new training for organizations, and that, those are significant barriers. And so we're spending a ton of our time now on helping organizations understand the benefits that are realized in doing that kind of integration and how to move stepwise. Because I do think a lot of organizations recognize that they could be more efficient, but they're just not really sure how to take the first step and the second step. And so trying to help, you know, back to your question about partners and really trying to help our channel partners understand what are the steps that the best practices, you know, what kind of information works well in this environment, like should I pilot, how should I pilot, and so on. So a lot of investment in education and helping people understand the benefits in a tangible, in a way that they can go and take to senior management and get the justification.
Right, yeah.
And it, the observation that I have is many users see the benefit and they see the challenge for them is I just can't get my boss or my boss's boss or my boss's boss's boss to really understand this. And so we've said, hey, you know what, maybe we can, you know, help with, yeah, you know, some of that by creating white papers and getting others to speak about the benefits. And so that's a lot of where we are right
now.
Yeah,
it's an educational process
it
for
is,
sure.
It is an education process.
Yeah, we're still there.
Yep.
I want to wrap up, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the move that you made early in the year. We talked a little bit about going, you know, having MapGuide in open source.
Yeah.
And that was a huge, you know, move by a company that deals in you know, a commercial product.
Right.
So how do you see it going? Are there plans for to do this, do more of it? Or was this a one-shot deal with MapGuide?
Well, you know, so how's it going? It's going fantastic. We have more people downloading MapGuide open source in a single month than we had people buying MapGuide 6.5 right. in a year. You know, so the number of people who are downloading and using and speaking about it on blogs and so on has really exceeded our expectations. So that's very exciting, and we feel very good about how that's gone. You know, so well, not only did we put MapGuide in, but we did also put, you know, the featured data object technology. We don't have plans to put immediately anything else into open source, but I would tell you that kind of the philosophy that we developed around this is, to the extent that something becomes commoditized and is really already being supported by the open source community, it becomes very challenging for us to say, well, how do we add value above and beyond as a commercial entity? And so those are kind of the characteristics that we look for. You know, is there is there a ready-made group inside that open source community? And so it's hard for me to imagine what the next thing might be, but you know, probably if you had asked me 3 years ago would we be doing this, I would have said no way, forget
yeah,
it,
right.
you know, not
yeah.
what we're doing. And the world changes and we need to change with it, and so far this has been a successful venture for us, so no reason that it would cause us to stop.
Any confusion among the users here? You're offering this open source technology. Who's going to support it? You know, is it going to work with my commercial software? Do you hear those concerns at all?
You know, we saw some of that in the beginning. And I would say that, you know, I'd be lying if I said every single customer understands this perfectly. Mm-hmm. They definitely don't. A lot of customers didn't understand what open source was, and so this was actually their first entree getting introduced into it. And so once again, we had an education thing here, but I think once people begin to delve into it and they look at things like Red Hat, and there's so many other successful open source projects that also have commercial component that we can point to, and people, okay, I do get it, and you're a commercial entity and you're still going to support it and support us, gives people reassurance. But you know, a lot of at least our existing MapGuide customers just weren't aware, and so this has been an education for them. But you know, it's really, you know, the fun part about being in the open source community is going and reading the blogs, you know, and just reading all the activity. And there's so much. It's a group that we weren't used to, you know, hearing from before we got involved in open source. And again, great stuff. I mean, there's just fantastically smart people out there that contribute great stuff. So we're very pleased.
Good. With it. Well, I appreciate your time. It's been a great discussion. Much luck in the future.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us today for another Directions Magazine podcast, and be sure to tell a friend. Join us online at www.directionsmag.com, and be sure to check out all of the information about our Location Intelligence Conference in San Francisco next April 16th to the 18th at www.locationintelligence.net/conference.